belong to God across this wide world, whether living or dying, from youth to age, from night to day, in gladness and in woe, we belong to God. So this morning, let us join together in our gathering hymn, number 804, Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart. Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church this All Saints Sunday. This is a time when we remember and we celebrate and we honor the fact that we are all one community, both around the world and through time. We share a communion that is not only spiritual and physical, but quite mystical. And that's what we are celebrating today. We hope that you will want to be part of that celebration. And one way we do that here is by your making yourselves known to us. And we do that by your participating in the signing of those friendship pads that are located at the ends of each of the pew racks. If you take those out, fill out the information we ask, and then when it comes back to you, open it up and find out who's seated beside you so that you can greet one another following this service. If you want to know more about what's happening in this congregation, and this week it's quite a dizzying amount of events. The best way, not the only way, but the best way is by picking up our weekly newsletter. You can do it online. It comes out Friday afternoon, or you can pick up a hard copy, which is in the narthex. There are a bunch of important announcements, but before I launch into any, would you like to offer some so that the community can be brought up to speed with what's happening? Okay, Karen. Does this involve cards and suits?
I was thinking I would have to stand this way to open that microphone.
Thank you. I have been announcing about a new group called the G3 Graduates Gaming Group. And six people have signed up, and I am thrilled. I wish we had six more. Now, the first organizational meeting, we're going to play Tripoli. And if you don't know what Tripoli is, this is my take on the board. It was very cheap to make. And a friend of mine has loaned me 300, well, Sue Terry, who's one of the people who's coming, has loaned me 300 poker chips. So we have everything we need for playing it. It takes no skill, very little thought. Anybody can play. And so we will decide whether Tuesday mornings are the best time, what else we want to do in the future, and so forth. So if Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, you've already gone to vote, you're through with that, come on down and spend an hour not thinking about the news, not thinking about the weather, not thinking about dirty dishes in the sink or the groceries you have to buy. Just come and have some fun. And please, please sign up on the list so I know whether I have to make another board or not. Thank you.
Karen, can anybody join? Martin? Can anybody join?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll see you Tuesday. Okay, I wanted to let you all know the choir has begun rehearsing for our choral worship service on December 15th. That's our big Christmas celebration. And if you are interested in joining the choir for a season or longer, you're more than welcome to join with us. We're happy to have everybody who's interested. Thank you.
Wait a second, before you go, did we not get a gift this week?
Oh, yeah. Our bells are here, and we'll actually be able to hear one later on in the service today as we read the necrology, but they arrived on Halloween, so we're really glad to have them. Thanks.
Just a quick reminder about the fair trade coffee and hot chocolate, cocoa, in the traditional Mayan tradition of spicy cocoa. This is getting to be the cocoa season, so I thought I'd remind everybody we've got a few cans. If there's interest in order more, we've got quite a bit of coffee still in the closet. It's out in the gathering room. And red bags are $7.50. The black bags of Congo and Sisters coffee are $10 because they're bigger bags. This helps farmers who are growing coffee to make more money for their work and less money to middlemen who aren't doing any work. So help the farmers and get some great coffee or spicy cocoa. Thank you.
Next week, not this coming up week, but next week, we have our graduates luncheon, and our guest speaker will be Reverend Amy Hobby Rickard. Amy served as the pastor of the Lexington Church, which was closed, but while it was open, she had a number of veterans who joined her congregation, who felt at home nowhere else but in that small congregation where she gave them a lot of good love and attention and care. Amy expanded her ministry to include the Wounded Warrior Project, and now she's expanded it again. So she will be with us a week from this Tuesday. We'll celebrate around tables of turkey. But she will share with us new ministries, new ways of caring for our veterans, which, as you know, we continue to try to absorb in our communities as they come home from their different locations. Youth groups, we will meet after church. Lunch, I've already gone and sampled the desserts. They're good. You can trust that it's good food. Okay, it's my calling. So we had to do that. And we'll watch a movie. At the same time, the Homeless Task Force will meet. Mark, I think they're going to meet in the conference room. Okay. And then for those of you who would like to somehow respond to hunger in our community, you have an opportunity. November 16th, we host Feast. That sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board. So I would ask that you give prayerful consideration about how you might want to use your gifts and talents to serve the least of these. And now let us worship God.
join me in the litany for the presentation of the communion elements. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Shout for joy, O righteous ones. Yet I know my faults and my sin is ever before me. Scripture says we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, told his disciples to give the hungry something to eat. What do you bring to the table? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please join me in our call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 822, When We Are Living.
Thank you.
morning. Look at all you well-rested people. Amazing things another hour will do. It's good to see you. I want to invite the children who are here to come forward, and let's spend time together. If you have offerings for our fishbowl where we collect them, just a reminder, those offerings now are going to support our food pantry here at Covenant. And that way we can enable some of our neighbors who come seeking grocery help to find it here. So we thank you in advance for your offering. Mary Barnett is going to read our scripture passage for us. So let's listen.
All right. Welcome, you guys. Today's scripture passage is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So let's listen for the word of God. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the people of the church in Thessalonica, who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Our brothers, we must thank God at all times for you. It is right for us to do so because your faith is growing so much and the love each of you has for the others is becoming greater. That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. I'm so happy to see you. Have you finished eating all your Halloween candy yet? The parents are saying no. They still have Halloween candy left. Do you all have a parent's tax on candy? I used to do that. It's like 10% for me.
Give away the
secret. Well, you know. All right. Let's do this. I want to see how far your arms can reach. How far can you stretch? Let's see. That's pretty far. I might be able to go a little bit farther. Okay. Okay. Now, the next thing I want you to do is see how far, look out here and see how far you can see. How far can you see? You can see through those windows, maybe, so you can see just outside of this building. How far can you see? Pretty far? A little bit? Okay. All right, what if the only people we needed to care about or love were people that we might be able to reach out and touch with our arms spread out? And that would be a lot, because we could just about, like if you touch my hand, I could probably touch theirs. And we could probably find ways to care about and love all the people here. What if the only people we were supposed to care about or love were the people we could see? So, again, there are a lot of people that we could care about and love. But do you think that's all the people we should care about or love? What about the people we can't see or the people we can't touch with our hands? Because I think there are people all over the place, all over this world. Here's the thing. God enables the church, which you're a part of, to care about and to see and touch and love even the people that we can't directly see, that we can't hug, that we can't get to know directly, because God's amazing that way. Sometimes God works through people who help God extend God's love beyond what we can know. One of those people has a birthday this weekend. How many of you can count to 100 yet? You can count all the way to 100? Well, Sitting here today worshiping with us is our wonderful friend Coffee Worth. She's come all the way back from Florida. I think, yeah, there she is. Hi. Hi, Coffee. Coffee came back from Florida to celebrate with us this weekend because she turned 100 years old, which is amazing. But that's, for me, not the most amazing thing about Coffee. What's amazing is she's one of those people that has helped God care about and love people way beyond what we can see and touch. Coffee has worked for God in a country called Korea, which is a long, long way away, with people who live in South Georgia down near Americus at Koinonia Farms, with people not too far from here out in Comer at Jubilee Partners, but they work with people who come from all over the place, every part of the world you can think of. This is how God extends our hands and our eyes. And so today, thank you, Coffee, for helping us extend our reach, okay? We're pretty limited, but you help us be more. God is good that way. That's how God uses saints. Let's sing about them in our song, okay?
We're going to need to be prepared because I tell you, in heaven, first of all, I'm going to be in the cloud next to Leo. I'm going to be dancing like that, but we're all going to be dancing like that, so we might just as well get used to doing it, and it would be just a lot of fun. As Christians, and as Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians, we are all one. And it is our special privilege to be able to lift up the world's joys and concerns and place them really at the feet of God. And we know that God hears us. We know that God responds to us. We know that it's in God's own way and it's in God's own time. And as the middle schoolers constantly remind me, it is very confusing sometimes. It's hard to know what God is saying and God is doing. But in this moment, when we celebrate a beautiful dancing child and a beautiful dancing woman whose whole life is a living sermon, what joys and concerns would you like to lift up so that this community can pray for you and your loved ones this week? And I think she'll do better if we remember to bring her ice cream. I happen to know her favorite flavor. So, just a hint. Carol Wheeler has been moved to a room as of today and will go into rehab for about a month. And last weekend, we weren't even sure she was going to live. So this is an amazing joy for all of us. Sandy.
I just wanted to remind everybody of the prayers for our grandson Ben, who broke his wrist last week. Surgery went well, and so as a 16-year-old, he should be fine in no time at all and want to get back out of the thing.
So Sandy and Jim's grandson, healing nicely after surgery on his wrist. Helen? On the window? On those windows that Rich Reeves just had cleaned? Those windows? Okay. Absolutely. Jacob.
I've got two joys. This weekend we celebrated Valerie's first birthday. And as part of that celebration, my brother is here. And he agreed to sing with the choir after I twisted his arm.
So thank you for everybody who helped make that celebration possible. Jim? For Jim's wife, Anne, who is, there's a number of issues, but having significant health issues.
I prayed for my household and Ellen Combs and be moved, and then Walmart and the security cameras be moved out of my house.
I agree. For you and your family, your whole household. Other prayers? Concerns? Let us pray. But before we do, don't forget, looking in that newsletter, don't forget that we have folks that are still homebound, that are still in assisted living. And I would especially like to lift up at this point Mary Fenner, who went through a rather difficult chemo treatment this week and is looking at many, many more. So if you can remember her and her family, that would be wonderful. Let us pray. We belong to you, O God. So teach us your ways that we may come down from our sycamore trees and be open to the same Spirit who moved over the face of the waters in the first day of creation and moves also over the chaos of this time to fashion a day like this, a world like ours, a life like ours, a kingdom acting as leaven in the bread of earth. Plant our feet firmly on the ground. limber our neck muscles, and make us aware of the miracles of life, of warm, cold, of starkness and order, of screaming wind and impenetrable silences, and of the unfathomable mystery of amazing grace in which we are kept. We belong to you, O God, so teach us your ways that we may praise you for all the surprising, ingenious ways you bless us, and for all the wonderful gifts you give us, along with all the pain and the joy we sustain. We belong to you, O God, so teach us your ways that we may accept our own talents openly, nurture them hopefully, develop them faithfully, and give them freely. We belong to you, O God, so teach us your ways that we may love your kindness and practice it toward the hungry of the world, the poor, the sick, the oppressed, that we may learn the healing humility that comes from you. We belong to you, O God, so that our hearts are flooded with your mercy, emptying them of what makes them firmly opposed to your ways, so that they may beat more in rhythm with you and pound greatly for your kingdom. This we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our second reading this day is from the Gospel according to Luke. It's the beginning of the 19th chapter. Again, let us listen together for God's word to us. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. And so Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it, though, began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Lord, look, half my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. And then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Humanity came to seek out and to save the lost. This too is the word of God for you, the people of God. The more I read the Gospels, the more I get the feeling that the God who gives us life is not just sitting around. God is not an enthroned stationary being, constantly sorting through our prayerful petitions from behind some heavenly desk. God is not endlessly waiting for us to arrive and to simply be in his presence. In Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is constantly coming our way. God is living and moving in our midst. God is inviting himself into our lives and then hoping from the bottom of his heart that we will want to share in his. God does not want to be a distant, absentee landlord. God wants to work with us, laugh with us, celebrate birthday parties with us, wrestle and cry with us, even haggle with us. The psalmist puts it like this: the Lord takes pleasure in God's people. The Lord adorns the humble with victory. And so if that's true, it's not surprising that we really might need to limber up our neck muscles just to keep from getting whiplash trying to follow all the movement, and I mean the physical movement, going on in today's gospel story. According to Luke, Jesus is passing through town. Specifically, he's going through Jericho. Unlike his ancestor, Joshua, Jesus doesn't have to march around and around the city until the walls come a-tumbling down. This teacher, this suffering servant and savior, has a way of passing through walls and then using love instead of a battering ram, has a way of bringing down the barriers that have separated us from him and ourselves from one another. In this part of the story, Jesus is on his way to another walled city, but one that won't be so easy to pass through. It's a place where the barriers to belief seem to be more entrenched, and his movement for a just and peaceable world is going to look like it's getting derailed, at least for a time. But here in Jericho, people are lining the streets. They're trying to catch a glimpse of the rabbi who has been moving all through the region, scattering huge handfuls of hope and healing wherever he goes. And he might not be coming through this way again. It's like Elton John. This might be the last tour. And so the good people of Jericho are scrambling to get as close to him as they can. But not just the good people. The bad, the despised, they're trying to get close too. Like Zacchaeus, the sought-off tax collector who, like all tax collectors in those days, has done his part to keep the city's poor behind an insurmountable wall of poverty, all while profiting pretty nicely himself. So he's not a favorite in the crowd. But Luke says says that Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus too. And who knows why? Maybe it's simple curiosity. He's heard the stories. He's interested. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something a little deeper. Maybe He's feeling that no amount of accumulated wealth can fill the hole that keeps gnawing at his heart. It keeps him awake at night. Nothing can block out what he needs, what's preventing him from finding the contentment and the joy that he was so certain would come with every new round of ka-ching in his own coffers. But here's the point in the story where I think we really do need to keep, you know, our necks kind of loose in order to keep up. Because the crowd, which may have had no power to stop Zacchaeus from robbing them blind, at least has the power to block his view of this Jesus parade. And you can imagine them doing it. They see him trying to watch, and they move right in front, wherever he goes. They form a wall of backs that aren't going to be moving, not tumbling down anytime soon. And so Zacchaeus starts craning his own neck, probably jumping up and down, trying to see. And when that doesn't work, he starts running ahead of this ragtag entourage in the street. Then he makes like a monkey and he scurries up a tree to get a better view. But no sooner does he get there than Jesus brings everything to a halt, and he stops and he looks up and he fixes his gaze directly on Zacchaeus. Then, according to the way I translate this text, Jesus winks and he says, "Hurry on down, my man. Come on. I'm getting hungry. I've been traveling, and I hear you have got one killer kitchen staff. So I'm eating with you today." And that somehow makes Zacchaeus' heart sing. Doesn't get him flustered or worried about what he's going to serve. So faster than those carved stones which once encircled that city, he comes down. He scurries down that tree, and he welcomes Jesus into his house. Now here I want us to note two things. First, there is a whole lot of hurrying going on in this text. The word keeps popping up. He hurried up. He hurried down. He hurried to keep up with Jesus. I'm usually not in favor of rushing important decisions. I think it's worth spending sufficient time to gather information we may need in order to do God's work well. But that should never keep us from making a strong and basic commitment to saying yes to Jesus in particular times and places. It shouldn't keep us just, well, we're going to study this invitation a little longer. The Gospels always seem to push us not to spend too much time thinking about if we are going to respond to God's call to service and relationship. I mean, those first disciples just dropped their nets instead of getting tangled up in what some people like to call the paralysis of analysis. Those first followers, maybe Zacchaeus too, embodied that spirit of carpe diem. My sense is that God and Jesus really is moving back and forth across our world all the time, in and out of our lives. And there are simply certain times when he comes very close to us and calls us down from our trees and presents us with an opportunity to engage in ways that might not come along again. There's some urgency in the call. Hurry on down, he seems to be saying. I've got something for you to do, and I need you to get on it right now. I'm not talking about tomorrow or a time that's more convenient for you. I'm saying that today, salvation and all the life-altering implications that come with that, today salvation is coming into your house. Now, a second point might be this. I can't help but wonder if all the emphasis in direction in Luke's storytelling is his way of teaching us that the direction of discipleship is down. It's always down. Now, like Zacchaeus, there may be times when we need to go up in order to see Jesus or to remember that he sees us. We need to get up and away from our daily grind or from the weekly weeds that can bog us down. Maybe we need to go up to some place of retreat where we can be quiet, where we can listen for a word that can easily get drowned out in the valley of the shadow where we often find ourselves. So sometimes we absolutely need to clear our heads. We need to breathe some fresh air. We need to benefit from a change of perspective. That's good. But I think this is also where our particular faith tradition, rooted in the Gospels, radically departs from so many other traditions that always seem to be focusing on spiritual ascent, transcending where we are and who we're living with. They always seem to be using a mountain climbing metaphor for finding God. I think the Gospels teach us that once we do catch this glimpse of Jesus, once we remember that we belong to him and that he loves us no matter what, again and again our stories call us to come down and follow him on the ground. We're called to come down from the mountaintop, from our perch in a tree, from our place of refreshment and prayer, and enter back into the servant work of rebuilding this broken, tumble-down world and doing it one life at a time. The direction of discipleship to Jesus is down. To follow Jesus is to follow him as foot-washing servants into the lives of people who are also down, who are laid low by sickness and by poverty and by addiction and by grief. Discipleship may also mean coming to terms with our own low places, our choices, our decisions that have kept us from living as whole and free people. I got to walk with somebody this week for just a little while who's been struggling with forgiveness, who has been trying to find freedom because 25 years ago her father was murdered. And for her, she needed to come to peace with that by making peace with the man who was convicted of killing him. That's what she needed to do, and that was a hard journey for her down, even as she made her appeal to the Board of Pardons and Paroles. In the case of Zacchaeus, once he could see Jesus, he also seems to have started seeing himself as he really was. For the first time, he could identify the actions that were keeping him isolated from that crowd of neighbors. His actions that were preventing him from really knowing peace. Because Jesus chose to identify with this man, he started to see again. Because Jesus chose to hang out with Zacchaeus, who everybody in that crowd was rejecting, because God in Christ always chooses to love us first, because Jesus invites himself into our lives before we can even think about welcoming him into ours. Because of that, Zacchaeus could begin to see himself and his world differently. No longer was that crowd an obstacle in his way. No longer were those people just an annoyance to be overcome or a bunch of suckers to be exploited. No, now they were his neighbors. And they deserved respect and dignity and the same chance at living a full and hopeful life that he had been given. But a life that he was actively undermining. So once that meal with Jesus was over and his Lord was continuing his movement on his way, I think Zacchaeus would be wading back out into the streets. I think he'd be going door to door, making restitution with his neighbors. And by the way, theologically, I don't think this is a quid pro quo. To borrow another Latin phrase that's been a relentless part of the news cycle lately, what Zacchaeus is promising to do by giving back his ill-begotten wealth is not a conditional move required by Jesus in order for him to achieve salvation. No. I think because of Jesus' choice to love Zacchaeus, Jesus' choice to come into Zacchaeus' life, that tax collector is already saved. Now he's simply free to live like a saved person, like somebody who knows the saving grace of God deep in his heart, deep in his bones. One theologian puts it this way: salvation is a word for the divine spaciousness that comes to human beings in all the tight places where our lives are at risk and where we get tied up into little balls. It's the pure gift of a key that opens a door in what for all the world looked like a wall. In other words, because Jesus came into his life, Zacchaeus was now free to enter into the lives of his neighbors in a life-giving way. Because Jesus had seen him not simply as a sinner ripping everybody off, but actually as a son of Abraham, Zacchaeus could start living like a human being, like a member of God's family, and do everything in his power to bring life to those he had been demeaning and dehumanizing and ultimately destroying. The pastor Donna Shaper once wrote, "You know you are saved not just when you know God loves you, but when you find yourself actively loving the neighbors you once feared and were willing to hurt or ignore." That's the great gift and the great problem that comes about when Jesus invites himself into our lives. When Jesus does that, we can't just leave him here at church and ignore him the rest of the week. Instead, his spirit comes home with us and starts to mess with our spirits. And we find ourselves making space in our hearts and in our homes for others. And that can be super hard and super inconvenient and more fun than we ever imagined. My sisters and brothers, our Lord is on the move. He's not just sitting there somewhere. May God grant us the grace and the courage to be ready to move with him when he stops, and when he looks at us with love, and when he says, I'm going home with you today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our Lord, who invites himself into our lives, also invites all of us now to his table, because he knows that if we're going to keep up with him and serve him, we need nurture and nourishment. We need our strength and our souls renewed. And so he provides us this feast so that can happen. All who seek to be his disciples are welcome at this table. Whether we feel worthy or not, Jesus makes us so and calls us to share in this meal with him and with each other. Today especially, we need to remember that gathering at this table are not just the people that we can reach out and touch or see, but all of God's people in all times and places, those who have gone before us and those who are coming after us, the cloud of witnesses that is part of the kingdom of God. Today, as we prepare to share this meal, please remember that many, many are sharing this meal with us. They are bringing the gift of hope and peace in their witness, and I invite us now to share the peace of Christ with one another, saying, the peace of Christ be with you. Also with you. You would please join me in the All Saints Litany that is found on the insert in your bulletin. God of grace, God of glory, grant us faith that neither death nor life nor anything else can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ. We rejoice with your saints who have run the race of life to its full distance, who have kept the faith, and who now enjoy the prize of your full presence. God of our past, present, and future, for all your servants who have touched our lives with your love, who practiced justice, and who walked humbly among us. Keep us grateful for their witness, renewed with memories of their care for us, and like them, eager to follow in the compassionate way of Christ. God, we lift up to you these sisters and brothers who now dwell with you in light. Jim Palace.
Sharon Schaefer.
Carol June Trussell.
Lois Ludwig.
Brooke Brock.
Mina Mims Whitehead.
John Benway.
Joyce Harding.
Daniel Barnard.
Frank M. Cervera.
Gary Harding.
Mary Ann Norville.
Genia Topple.
Mary Heiner.
Mary Ruth Ballard.
William Lorenzo Moss IV.
Charles E. Trussell.
Norman Patterson.
Diane Ralph.
G.W. Riles.
Kenny Clark.
Glenn Sandquist.
Blanche Carper.
Maureen Wathen.
Greg Hoxie.
Hope Shambly Galloway.
Helen McConnell Mills.
Rebecca Connor Boyd.
As you are able, please stand and let us sing together hymn 507. Come to the table. We'll sing verses 1 through 3.
Story
teaches us that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he had first shared a meal with his followers and his friends, and during that meal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread. And then he gave it to them, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Body of Christ. This is the bread of heaven, of love come down. Take, eat, be thankful.
Our story continues. After supper, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God for it, he poured it, saying, "Drink all of it. This is my blood shed for you. Drink all of it in memory of me." Friends, whenever we eat this bread, whenever we drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for all of the people of God. is for sorrow, wine is for joy, for suffering and for celebration, for forgiveness and for new relationship. We drink until Christ comes again. And let all the company of saints say together, Amen. Let us give thanks for a shared meal. Holy One of days and nights, of sinners and saints, of right and left, and everything between and beyond, we are grateful for all your presence that abides in every corner of our living and is especially present in these gifts of bread and cup. You lurk quietly in the loneliest places in our hearts, keeping watch. You grieve with us in our devastations, our losses, our fears. You journey with us in our celebrations, our defeats, and even in the monotony of our days. You delight in us, take pleasure in us, and love us. May we live in that love and pleasure and delight, knowing that as we sink into you, we might become more like you, wanting life and grace for this world and all peoples and creatures that live upon it. We pray for our world, for the places and precious people who are striving to recover from hurricanes and floods and raging fires. Pray for peace among nations and make us instruments of that peace. We pray for our children and our youth, that they may be surrounded by protection and also be challenged to be all of who they have been created to be. We give you thanks, O God, for all of the saints in our lives, those who are living, and those of blessed memory. We pray this prayer for love's sake. Amen. Freely we have received, let us freely give, for truly, like Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house today. us dedicate our gifts with joy and thanksgiving. Like the prophets of old, we search for the ways of God in the world. We bring these offerings as symbols of our commitment to continue the search for peace with justice in our local and global communities. We offer these gifts because we know that change is possible. Like Zacchaeus, we know that God's love can work through us, transforming and enabling us to live in God's way. So we offer these gifts for the transformation of ourselves and our world for the good of all. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 326. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3 for all the saints.
Let us now go from this time and place of worship. Let us go, accompanied by all the saints, out into our neighborhood, our country, our world, and there, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, let us be Christ's church. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.